Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. We are celebrating September 21st, the International Day of Peace, with Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. This edition of Vegan Nation is part two of the celebration of the International Day of Peace. Last week, we celebrated with Nafisa Mohammed from Toronto, Canada, originally from Guyana, South America. Nafisa is the administrator of Salam Vegan Facebook page, and we will continue our program about achieving world peace through a compassionate vegan lifestyle. Thank you, Will, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. I'm delighted to be with you, and thank you everyone for listening, because I think this is very important to talk about the connection between peace and veganism.
Thank you, Will. And I would like to start out with hearing about your European tour throughout Austria, Switzerland, Italy, and Germany this summer.
This is the first time we've done a European tour, because now we're in the 10th anniversary of the publication of the World Peace Diet, and the World Peace Diet has been published in 17 languages. And Stephen Goodwin, who lives in France, worked very hard to translate the World Peace Diet into both French and then into German, and even find publishers in both French and German for the book. And then another woman named Marla translated the book into Italian. And so that allowed us to do the lecture tour that you're talking about finally. These books were just released recently in these languages, and so we gave lectures first in Switzerland, in the German part of Switzerland, in Bern. And so that went really well. And then we went down to Geneva and Lausanne, which are in the French part of Switzerland, and gave lectures there in affiliation with the publisher, which was very interesting. L'Âge d'Homme is the name of the publisher, and they've actually published about 3,500 books. It's a large publisher. The founder of the company passed away, and his daughter is a vegan, and she's kind of taken over and created this whole vegan line of books, and it was really great to see the energy, these young people in Lausanne and Geneva who are embracing vegan living. She herself, actually, every Wednesday in her kitchen, cooks a huge vegan feast, and then at the publishing house office, she just puts all this food out, and there's about 80 to 100 local people come, and they get free vegan food. So it was just great to see that happening, and that was also in conjunction with a march that they had in Geneva the following day on Saturday, where they got apparently about 600 or 700 people came to this march against speciesism. These local groups, I think, are just doing great work. And this publisher, the French publisher, L'Âge d'Homme, has also been the first publisher to now translate and publish the other book that we did recently, Circles of Compassion, which is about the intersectionality of oppression, how our oppression of animals and also sexism and racism and classism and other social justice issues are all related, with animal agriculture and animal oppression really being in many ways the driving force in the mentality of violence and oppression that we also see not only against animals but against each other. You know, I've been going to Switzerland for years, and up until recently there was not one vegan restaurant in the entire country of Switzerland, and now there's probably 20, you know.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing how it's really grown, the vegan movement. And then we flew from Geneva to Rome. That happened to be August 20th, which was our 22nd wedding anniversary. We're going to speak that night in Rome. And we were in the airport, walking through the airport. And yeah, I was really surprised walking through the airport. Out in the gates, there was a grand piano sitting there with a sign on it that said, "Play me." So I went over and started playing the piano, because that's, you know, kind of what I've been doing for a living, in a sense, besides being an author, Madeline, like traveling, doing piano concerts and composing original music. So I played this piece of music that I composed, actually, for Madeline for our wedding 22 years ago, and played it at the wedding. And so I played that for her in the airport. And much to my surprise and our surprise, a whole crowd of people gathered around. I told them that it was our 22nd wedding anniversary. And then the whole crowd, I guess they were mostly Italians, started spontaneously singing this happy anniversary song to us in the airport, you know. So it was a beautiful arrival into Italy and this whole sense of just making connections with people. And then in Rome, we gave lectures there in Rome and then in Gubbio, which is right outside Assisi, and they were through Brahmakumaris, which some people may not be aware of, but Brahmakumaris is an amazing group of, it's an international, huge international meditation movement. It's run by women, and it's based in India. There's over 1.5 million people who are involved in this, and they have centers in 130 nations. We gave a lecture at the Brahmakumaris Center in Rome, and I also called upon publicly the Pope to model what he's talking about in his encyclicals and to actually go vegan, live a vegan lifestyle, so that he's not just writing about and talking about the importance of justice and kindness to animals and to other people, but to actually model that behavior. So it was just great to be in Rome and be able to do that and get that into the media and so forth. And then we went up to Gubbio, which was, again, enormously inspiring because there was a man there who was also actually affiliated with Kumaris, and he is a son, apparently, of a wealthy rancher who inherited 1,200 acres of land that was used as a ranch, and he's now converting that into a vegan healing center. Just beautiful. It's huge. I mean, there's like 3 or 4 lakes, and it's, you know, whole mountains. I mean, it's a gigantic area. And he's created this special line of vegan organic pasta called Santa Pasta. Anyway, it was wonderful to be there, and I gave a lecture there, which we had a really good turnout in conjunction with a vegan doctor. And then we went to Assisi and to the St. Clair's Monastery, and also, of course, to where St. Francis was. And the connection with Compassion for Animals is very strong, I think, in the movement there in general, historically. And so that was really powerful. And then we went, I took the train the next day up to Pisa. And in Pisa, there's a group of young people who have created an animal sanctuary. And again, something I've never seen here, but it's actually public land. It's just like a city park. And they've been there for about 10 years. And they started out, the city said it would be okay for them to create a place where they have rescued horses. So they started out with rescued horses. And now they have rescued horses, but they also have 60 animals, including cows, sheep, goats, turkeys, chickens, ducks, geese, you know, the animals that people are eating. These are all rescues. We were able to be there as part of a celebration for the animals, and there was a big feast, a vegan feast. We had about 100 people come to the lecture that I gave there. It was outside. It was really beautiful. And then we went up to the Italian part of Switzerland and gave a lecture in Lugano. And then from there, it was 2 lectures in Zurich. I gave a lecture and then a workshop for activists to become more effective advocates. And this was created through a local organization by a man named Manuel Klarman, who has a TED talk he gave in Lausanne, I think it was Lausanne, Switzerland. He and some friends, they have a whole community, and they're working at a pretty high level, actually, with the government to educate restaurants and the general public about the climate footprint of animal agriculture. And he's working with local restaurants so that all of their menus say how much CO2 their meals are creating, and to get the restaurants to offer vegan meals as a way to reduce climate change. And so this is a very powerful movement that they're starting, these young people. And it's a beautiful community. They live together. They have a vegan community where they grow a lot of their own food and herbs and things, kind of an urban garden in Zurich. So I was there for 2 days, and then went to Austria and gave a lecture in Austria in St. Pölten, which is right outside Vienna. And this was also fascinating because the woman who put on the lecture I gave there, her name is Nina Messenger, and she has just finished a film, a documentary. It's called Hope for All. She's just completed it. It's not going to be released for another, I guess, a couple of months. And I'm in the documentary. She even had an expert cameraman team come to our house in Northern California to film me playing the piano in our home as part of the footage for this film. So the film is finished, and it's amazing. I mean, she's got T. Colin Campbell and Harold Brown and Melanie Joy, a number of other well-known animal rights activists and vegan activists, and also vegan doctors from the United States and also from Austria and Germany. for MUVI really goes into the health benefits of plant-based diet and also into the environmental benefits and also into the cruelty aspects too. It's really well done.
It's time to take a break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We are joined via Skype in Northern California with Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. Dr. Tuttle is sharing information about his European tour throughout Austria, Switzerland, Italy, and Germany that he and his wife Madeline completed this summer.
You're listening to Community Radio, WCUW Worcester, 91.3 FM, online at wcuw.org.
Don't forget to be a sustaining member of WCUW by donating $5 or $10 a month if you can. WCUW is community radio, radio of the people and by the people. Nowhere will you find such a unique mix of musical genres, ethnic and cultural programs, and news and information. Our program schedules include folk, rock, jazz, blues, doo-wop, hip-hop, classical, and more.
You know what's so good about community radio as well, Janice?
Yes.
We don't have ads.
That's right.
Isn't that a relief?
It is a relief.
And it just makes life so much more enjoyable. What we do is just express ourselves.
That's right.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, and we're continuing our conversation with Dr. Will Tuttle about his lecture tour throughout Europe and the intersectionality of veganism with world peace.
The fellow who filmed this is a man named Stefan Wolf. He's also from Austria. He created a film a while back called Ein neues Wir, which means a new we in German, and it's about a dozen intentional communities in Europe, in Spain, Switzerland, Germany, France, Italy, and Poland that he studied. And most of those are vegetarian or vegan communities. And he is now researching Russian vegan communities based on the work of Anastasia. He had just come back from 4 weeks living in Russia with these communities, and he has stories that are so positive and so uplifting of communities in Russia, huge communities. I mean, it's a huge community movement based on honoring the earth, honoring women, honoring children, honoring animals, and tens of thousands of people are involved in these communities, and the government is giving people land. They're giving everyone a hectare of land. That's 2.5 acres. Anyone who wants to create a community where they care for the land, grow their own food, the government will give them 2.5 acres of land. He was telling me there's 230 settlements, and a settlement is anywhere from 60 to 300 families, each one with a hectare, which is 2.5 acres of land, creating what was called a space of love, which is where one grows one's own food with love, and it's oriented around compassion for animals and for plants and bonding deeply with the earth and with life and creating schools that honor children. He said just to see the children, their light, the light in their eyes, the beauty of these children and the beauty of these people and how they just live together in harmony and love and the incredible sense they have of a positive future. He said it's amazing. He said the people are feeling empowered. They're feeling like there's going to be a better world. They're working together. They're helping to grow food and that is delicious, and they're just not dependent on large systems. They're dependent on themselves and each other and loving themselves and the earth and growing their own food and creating community rituals that are joyful and singing songs and dances. He was telling me they have really enormous creativity. So it was just great to hear about this movement in Russia that is also spreading to Germany. He's right now doing a whole month-long lecture tour throughout Germany, and there's a number of these communities forming in Germany and other countries as well. So I think it's something that could begin to happen in English-speaking countries also. But the idea is to create communities of awareness, compassion, and kindness to animals and to the sacred feminine. And again, this is not surprising that so much of this is coming out of women, out of the sacred feminine. These are the leaders, the visionaries behind these movements, and it's just fantastic to see this kind of stuff happening. And then I took a train from there to Munich and gave a lecture in Munich at the Jivamukti Yoga Studio that they have there. And Jivamukti is based in New York City, but they have yoga studios that are vegan, and they really teach veganism. So they had set up a lecture for me at their yoga studio, and again, that was place was packed. Pretty much all the lectures were packed. It's interesting, on the way, I got on the train in St. Paul's, and it was full of people, and as soon as I came across the border into Germany, they stopped the train, and it was delayed for an hour while the police came on, and they asked everybody for passports. I mean, they didn't ask everybody. They only asked people with dark skin, actually. They never even said a word to me. Or the other people with light skin, but anyone with dark skin or who looked Middle Eastern or whatever, they asked for passports and visas, and they took more than half the people they took off the train because they didn't have the proper identification, and they're gathering the people up, and they were basically all Syrian refugees. So it was quite poignant to see them, these people going through this, and to realize that the reason these Syrian people are refugees from their own country, and they took them right off the train, right, you know, all around me there as we moved into Germany, because these were people, the train had originated in Budapest, Hungary, and passed through Austria and then into Germany, and these people had, through terrible hard work and walks, you know, all the way from Syria through Turkey and up through the Baltic republics and so forth, and made their way finally to Hungary, and then finally got on this train, and they had to pay, I don't know how they were able, it's expensive. Somehow they had paid, gotten onto this train, and then they had been taken off, but they're trying to get their way to Germany. But these are all people in Syria that have lost their homes because of the war, and really the driving force behind all that basically is animal agriculture. Again, it's animal agriculture. It's food shortages, really the driving force behind these conflicts, and that's again due to animal agriculture. And also the reason for the food shortages is global climate change. They had terrible droughts in Syria, devastating to the local farmers. Over a million farmers lost their farms due to the droughts, the terrible droughts that they had, and we had to go into the cities. And so there's these combinations of factors. You know, when people eat a lot of meat and dairy, it's just devastating to the environment, and it usually ends up harming the people who are most vulnerable, like the Syrian farmers who have these terrible droughts because of global climate change and food shortages that are then used by the United States and other countries to cause destabilization and to create more profits for the big war machine. So anyway, we saw all that happening. And then in Germany, I gave lectures there, and then also three lectures in Bonn in that area. And then finally came back to Switzerland, to Basel, where Madeline and Annelise, of course Annelise, her mother, her 95-year-old vegan mother, she's still living by herself in her apartment there in right outside Basel. And we gave a lecture there to close things up, and it went really well too. So it was a beautiful time of sharing with the people of Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, and Italy, and to see the vegan movement growing, and to see so many young people, middle-aged, older, I mean, they're really coming together to bring this message. It was amazing. Also, I took a photograph in Bonn. I was at the train station. I just happened to have a few extra minutes flipping around, and I went into a magazine store, and there were literally five magazines in the train station all on veganism. You know, five different, you know, three of them have the word vegan in the title. And so it's just an indication, I think, it was for me especially, how this movement is really growing in Europe. And I think it's important to realize that we have this momentum and to continue to share these ideas. So I'm going to stop right there. I'm sorry I talked so long, but it was really an amazing, positive experience to see the growth of the movement in Europe.
That's exciting to hear. Thank you for bringing tidings of joy and great news.
Well, it is. It's a lot. There is a lot of that. There's also, of course, the pushback you see everywhere by the dairy industry. You know, they're now, the government is advertising, they're giving everybody, you know, free. And now I'm showing you this. They give everybody these free bags, you know, that talk about how great dairy is, you know, shopping bags. But in spite of that, vegan restaurants are opening. And, you know, because actually just 4 years ago, we tried to buy some vegan chocolate, and you couldn't buy it anywhere in Switzerland. In the health food stores, the grocery stores, anywhere. You know, and chocolate in Switzerland is like one of the four food groups. It's huge. They have a whole aisle devoted to chocolate, but it all has dairy. And then this time, we looked for vegan chocolate, and it was huge. I mean, there was whole displays of vegan chocolate. So it's just great to see these things happening.
It sure is. Will, could you share a little bit more information about that connection between the suffering that's caused by animal agriculture and how that becomes manifested in the crises of human problems, and how veganism can help to reduce all that suffering, especially in relationship to dairy, for example.
Right. Well, you know, this is, as you were saying, September 21st is a day when we think about peace. And our violence towards animals, the abuse of animals, is so pervasive in our society, and it's so hidden and covered up. And I think nowhere is this more true than in the dairy industry. In fact, the dairy industry pretty much is well known to trivialize the suffering of dairy cows publicly. You know, like we have here in California, this whole happy cow dairy campaigns that we see everywhere, these pictures of cow faces laughing and smiling and how they just love to give us milk. And yet the reality on any dairy is as far from that as you can get. I mean, they're just hideous places of terrible abuse of cow mothers and their babies, and where they're impregnated against their will on rape racks, which is a violent act in itself and terrifying. I mean, even if it's done on a small operation with only three or four cows, I remember talking to this woman who had a small operation with three or four cows, and she said that when the truck that was owned by the veterinarian came to impregnate the cows would run as far away as they could. Very often it's just done by farmhands, and it's brutal. And there's the fact that as soon as they give birth to the babies are stolen. The basic idea is that we're stealing the babies, we're killing the babies. Three out of four are killed right away. One out of four will be a slave on the dairy and then raped, and then her babies will be stolen and they'll all be killed. How could we do this to mothers? How could we do this to their babies? How could we steal their milk? And especially when you consider that this is a substance that's absolutely toxic to human beings. I mean, we're not designed, we don't have renin, which is the main enzyme that calves have to digest casein, which is the main protein in milk. So it's violence towards our children to give them this stuff, especially so many children are lactose intolerant. Anyway, it's a form of racism to force school lunch programs where kids are primarily lactose intolerant to eat dairy products, which cause them all kinds of gastric problems. And everyone's, no matter who they are, all of us are intolerant essentially to casein. It causes all kinds of problems that people don't realize: breast cancer, prostate, colon problems, diverticulitis, and autoimmune diseases, and all kinds of things that enrich the pharmaceutical and medical industries, which again are in many ways devastating to our ecosystems and to our health. And the toxic chemicals that are used in these industries, again, not only on the poor cows who are given hormones, but also people who eat the products and get sick have to take drugs for the diseases that they get. And the dairy industry is really, in many ways, an abortion industry, because they intentionally impregnate the cows very often at the end of their lives when they're 4 or 5 years old. Even though they would live to be about 25 years old, but when they're about five years old, they've given birth at that point to maybe four calves who have been killed, except for one of them, and then they'll usually impregnate them so that, and then send them to the slaughterhouse when they're about 8 or 9 months pregnant, so that they can kill the mother and then kill the young baby inside the mother in her womb, because it's profitable for renin, which is used in cheese making, which is in the stomach lining of the unborn calf, and also for the very fine calf skin, which is used in expensive products as leather. So, and the basic spiritual teaching within the wisdom traditions of the world tell us that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. How can we expect to be sowing the kinds of seeds of violence towards women, towards females, to female cows and their babies, and have harmony in our relationships between women and men when there's so much domination and exploitation of females? And we're not only doing that, we're eating it, right? We're feeding it to our children. It becomes the very cells of our bodies. We have to wake up and realize that none of us are doing this from our own choice. These are traditions that are just epidemic, really. Essentially, they just cover the culture that we're born into. And if we don't question these traditions, then we're going to continue on with the traditions of social injustice, of war, of slavery, and so forth. But the foundation of all of this is really on our plates. It's in the food we're eating. It's in our relationships with animals that we're abusing, that we are all called to make an effort to understand these connections and to bring our lives into alignment with our values, so that we're eating a plant-based diet and doing it for ethical reasons and sowing seeds of harmony and joy and freedom and abundance without causing misery to animals and letting the animals live their lives.
Your explanation about the dairy gives another understanding of how, in all social justice problems and wars, it is women and children who suffer the most.
Exactly. That's a very important point. It's really true, especially in wars today, where it's not just men battling against each other. But even in those days, it was terrible, even in the old days, because whoever lost the war, the women and children became the slaves, and they were raped and enslaved. And today, of course, they're just bombed and killed. So it's absolutely true. We have to really understand that. And it's the same thing in animal agriculture. It's the females and the babies that suffer the most horrible abuse.
So thank you for your noble work to help reverse the suffering and bring more joy, peace, and great health and safety for everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Marlene. It's so great to be able to talk to you about these things. I'm just delighted that you're doing this. You know, Madeline is right here.
Yes. Hi, Marlene.
Hi, Madeline. Is there any message that you would like to share with our listeners on Vegan Nation?
I think just go vegan. It's the most beautiful lifestyle.
That's true.
Yeah. It's short but true.
Yes, and yet it has a long ripple effect of peace, health, and harmony worldwide.
Yes, and really happiness.
Thank you, Madeline.
Yeah, you're welcome, Marlene.
Dr. Tuttle, it's about time to wrap it up for today's interview. Are there any additional messages that you would like to share with our listeners?
Thanks, Marlene. You know, it's just really an honor to be able to talk about these ideas with you and with the listeners. And the main point, I guess, is to just encourage all of us to make an effort to understand the consequences of our food choices and realize that each one of us can, as Gandhi said, be the change we would like to see in the world. Please feel free to visit our website, worldpeacediet.com. We have our tour schedule there, and we'd always love to see people wherever we travel.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. Will and Madeline's international tour continues in December to Dubai, United Arab Emirates, and the Madhayam World Peace Festival cruise in the Persian Gulf, and then on to Johannesburg and Cape Town, South Africa, in January. The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony lecture tour will also be coming up into New England later in 2016. And I'd also like to give an extra special thank you to Nafisa Mohammed from Toronto, Canada, originally from Guyana, South America, for joining us last week. Nafisa is the administrator of Salam Vegan Facebook page. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.